Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, I'm delighted to be joined now by Bonnie Greer, author, playwright and columnist for The Times. Good afternoon, Bonnie.
Good afternoon. It's for the Byline Times.
The Byline Times. I beg your pardon. Okay. I just okay, got thrown it there. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Bonnie, it's good to talk to you again. So it's 60 years this weekend since the assassination of the radical black nationalist Malcolm X at the age of just 39. And I think a lot of people kind of half know things about Malcolm X and have heard of him in different ways and through culture and this and that. But we're going to spend a few minutes now reflecting on his life and legacy. So I suppose first, Bonnie, for younger listeners, who was Malcolm X?
Well, Brendan, let me correct you if I can. He wasn't a radical black nationalist at all. He was what I call a guy in the process of learning things. He was progressing.
Okay.
I grew up on the south side of Chicago. And when Malcolm came on, and Malcolm was very much of the south side, although he wasn't born on the south side. But his organization, the Nation of Islam, which was a black nationalist organization, was very much rooted on the South Side. So my parents and my parents' generation were the Martin Luther King generation, you know, the we shall overcome, turn the other cheek, and all of that. And being a young person, being a kid, that didn't suit us. We wanted more action, more confrontation. And Malcolm did that. He confronted white races. He went on chat shows, you know, with sheaves of dossier and would talk and talk about what's in the Constitution, what's being violated by white people. And he was very dapper. He's very, very chic in a way. So for a teenager, he was very exciting and very interesting. He talked back. He didn't accept the narrative. He called the March on Washington the farce on Washington. So all of those things were there. And then his organization had a sort of Islamic base, but really, I don't know anything about Islam, but I would say it really wasn't. And then he went on Hajj to Mecca, which every Muslim is obliged to make that pilgrimage once in their life. And his life completely changed. He met white people who were not the kind of people he grew up and experienced, and it changed him. It made him begin to question the ideology he had been promoting, and he began to look in a broader way. And okay. I think that's what got him assassinated, to be honest with you.
Okay. So if we break that down a little bit, so it's interesting. So your parents had that more civil rights pacifist Martin Luther King view of things. So would it have been that Malcolm X was viewed more kind of initially, he evolved, as you say, that he was anti-white people? Is that how you saw
him? Oh, yes. So he said the things that my parents' generation didn't say out loud. It was safe for older people to be on the civil rights marches and to be protected by the nonviolent cloak because they were approaching getting black people back our civil rights by being nonviolent and turning the other cheek and all of that. And Malcolm said that doesn't actually work and it shouldn't work. And we should be more direct. We should speak up. We should step out. And when you're a young person, that's much more appealing than being quiet.
So do you remember them around then in your neighborhood? Because as you said, he was very dapper. The brow line glasses, still a kind of an iconic look.
Oh yeah,
look.
Very, very
they
chic.
Always
yes.
the sharp suits and all that
oh,
kind of thing.
Oh yeah,
you remember
chic.
The Nation of Islam guys around the neighborhood when
oh,
you were
yeah.
young?
Oh yeah. They used to sell a publication, and they probably still do, called Muhammad Speaks. And it wasn't about the prophet. It was about the head of the organization who called himself Elijah Muhammad. And so they sold this newspaper every weekend or week, and I can't remember. And they were all incredibly well-dressed, like almost like Dior male models.
Yeah,
you know, and you would notice that. Whereas in the civil rights movement, people, you know, they were down home people, and some of them even wore overalls and just very humble, nonviolent people. And Malcolm's people were very sharp spoken, all of that.
Okay.
And when you're a young person, that's very appealing.
Bonnie, am I hearing that these guys were more exciting, basically, for you?
As a young person, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, absolutely.
And then, as
you got older, you began to investigate.
Okay. So Martin Luther King was around at the same time. You know, I see what you're saying about the generational thing. What was the relationship like between the two of them?
Well, at the beginning, of course, they were literally the opposite. As I said, he called the March on Washington, which was very revered. He called it the Farce on Washington, and all of those sort of things. He was completely opposed to Martin Luther King, but the Hajj. The journey to Mecca, the obligatory journey for every Muslim, he went on it, and it completely changed his life. It completely changed his outlook. And like I said, he met white people who were not the kind of people who had incarcerated him, who had opposed him. They were completely different, and it made him think. And to watch him as a young person make this journey in public, politically, was an amazing thing. And he was on a journey, and then he was murdered.
Okay, so explain to me then how and why he was murdered. I know it's kind of, there's complications about who exactly did it and everything, and that's been ongoing down the years. But the broad story, he parted ways with the Nation of Islam and with Elijah Muhammad, yes?
He did. He totally did. And he was on another path. I have no idea where that path was going to lead him, but it was away from being anti-white. It was away from being, he was a bit anti-Semitic at the beginning. He was moving away from all of that and moving into another space. And he was making a speech at 65 in New York, and suddenly people in the audience opened fire on him. And this was a black audience. And there's a lot of controversy about who did it, why they did it, how they did it. It ranges all the way from the FBI had a secret organization called COINTELPRO, which infiltrated a lot of black and student organizations. Some people say it was that. Some people say it was the Nation of Islam, who Malcolm had moved away. He was their chief spokesman. He had moved away from them, and they wanted to, radical elements there wanted to eliminate him. So there's a lot of controversy about how he was murdered, but he was murdered in public on stage. And that was him.
And Bonnie, it must make you think that he, as you say, on this journey, this kind of evolution, where do you think he could have ended up, or what could he have ended up being if he had lived past the age of 39?
I think he would have been a very interesting and still exciting person. He was an intellectual. He was a seeker. And he was questioning the very foundations of not only the United States and its ideas about what it thinks it is, which is being challenged right now with the current president, but he also was on a journey about Western civilization itself. And he would have, if he made it, he would have been able to do that. The good thing about him dying young, Brendan, to be honest with you, is that my generation didn't have the chance to cancel him, which is what we did to Martin Luther King for a while, and which is what we did to James Baldwin for a while.
Okay.
Malcolm didn't live that long.
Bonnie, there were problematic aspects to a lot
absolutely,
of his philosophy.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you can land on all those and then judge him from that moment, and you wouldn't be incorrect. But I'm saying that he was on a journey, and we don't know how he would have ended up.
Okay.
But I think in a good space.
So one other question then. I was mentioning at the start that a lot of people would have become aware of him through lots of different ways, from like hip-hop music to movies to even the look and everything. How has the legacy of Malcolm X echoed down through A, the politics, and B, the culture?
Well, A, politics, as things became, I think as people began to, each generation, let's put it this way, each generation makes its own politics. It looks at the past generation and declares that it didn't do enough and they're going to do it. So that's a part of human progress and human process. And so Malcolm became especially in Spike Lee's film, and afterwards a kind of symbol of Black resistance. He was that, and he was deeper than that. And what's your next question, Brendan?
And the question was, one, politics, and B, the culture.
The culture, of course, he was beautiful. Visually, yeah. So that's an easy yeah. answer, yeah. you know. I mean, he really was, and he was articulate. So that's an easy one. He just really appealed to people on that basis.
Okay, listen, that's fascinating, and Bonnie, you got a lot of nuance in there for a short piece. Thank you very much.
Thank
Always
you.
A pleasure
it's
to talk to you,
Brendan. Thank
Writer,
you so much. Thank
author, you. Playwright, and columnist for the Byline Times, Bonnie Greer. Thanks. Good to talk to you again,
Thank
Bonnie.
Thank you.